It is 10:08. Welcome to it, 720 WGN. My name is Sam Panionovich. I'll take you up until Northwestern basketball pregame, 10:45, and then they'll play Brown at 11. John Williams is off for the holiday. He'll be back before you know it. And before you touch that dial, we have maybe the story of the year, maybe the story of the last couple decades in Illinois high school football. Frank Lenti, the winningest coach in Illinois history, 374 wins in 34 years, 11 state titles. Essentially, he's been fired at Mount Carmel, where I went to high school. Now, let me start by saying I didn't play football, so I don't really have many allegiances to the football team. I'm not a ride-or-die caravan football guy, but I'm a big fan of the school because it molded me through my youth from age 13 to age 18. When I graduated, went down to Illinois and Champaign, and then after that, 2 years there, I finished up at Columbia College, interned here at WGN, and the rest is history. What happened on the South Side is not just about high school football. It's not just about Coach Lenti. It's about how people should be treated and legacies and history. There are right ways to do things and there are wrong ways to do things. And what happened at 6410 South Dante is certainly the wrong way to go about business. The number here is 312-981-7200. This is not just about Mount Carmel. This is about how you treat people. And we'll talk to Pat DiSebeto to put this into perspective. He's been covering Frank Lenti for almost ever. And he works for the Tribune Papers, the Daily South Town. He's going to join us about 10 minutes from now. But here's how this came together. I was told, and remember, when you're breaking news, you always try and get all your facts in order. And WGN Radio was the station that broke the news that Frank Lenti was out, Jordan Lynch was in. There are three sides to the triangle. There's the administration at Mount Carmel, Frank Lenti, and Jordan Lynch. I was told by people close to the Lynch camp that this has been known for weeks, that Jordan was going to take over, that this has been the plan. So Jordan Lynch has known this. The administration, they're the ones cutting checks, making decisions. They've known about this for weeks. Frank Lenti found out about this 2 days ago. They went behind his back and cut his legs out from underneath him. I had people from the school tell me that Frank Lenti was retiring. People that I trust. People that I've known for years. Frank's had enough. He's coached a long time. He's going to hang him up. So, like any reporter would do, before I broke it, I called Coach Frank. On the school line, no answer. I called the athletic department, no answer. I called a couple people close to Coach Frank, no answer. You got to break the story, because the story at the end of the day is that Frank is out and Jordan is in. Lenti out, Lynch in. Mount Carmel puts a release out yesterday afternoon, 3 hours after we tell you at WGN that Frank Lenti's out. Mount Carmel sends out an email that says Frank Lenti is retiring as head coach. Not 15, 20 minutes later, we get a statement from Coach Frank. "Well, I had hoped to honor the commitment I had given the Mount Carmel football student athletes and families that I would coach them through their time at Mount Carmel. The administration has decided otherwise. Contrary to what some people have heard, I am not retiring. I love coaching high school football, and I may pursue that at some point in the future. I will honor my commitment to Mount Carmel and will resume my daily duties in the development department for the time being." That's the statement from the winningest high school coach in Illinois history, that he's been pushed out by the administration. This guy has won almost 400 games in 34 years at this school and 11 state titles. It's not always about the wins and the championships and the trophies. It's about what he's done for the school and what he means to this school. Frank Lenti is Mount Carmel. If you go throughout the country and you say Mount Carmel, odds are good Frank Lenti's the first thing that comes up. Or Frank Lenti's program. The divide has been growing. This new president has come in and he's made it clear he wants Frank Lenti out. They've cut his salary by tens of thousands. They told him how to run his offense. You don't pass enough. You run too much. You got to pass more. You got to adapt. Frank is sitting there saying, it's about the results. We're winning. We win every year. He missed the playoffs 2 years ago. that dug an even deeper wedge. The team was depleted by injuries. The alumni base right now, go check out Mount Carmel's Facebook. Go check out their Twitter and look at the responses to what this means to this community. Frank wanted to be there for the transition. Frank did not want to be there forever. He wanted to stay a couple more years. I've been told by some people he wanted to coach until he was 70. Others have said he wanted to finish out his nephew Matt's senior season next year. And Frank wanted to be there for the transition. You could have had Jordan Lynch as the offensive coordinator, Frank Lenthi as the head coach. And this could have blossomed into a nice relationship, and then Frank retires on his own accord, and then Jordan takes over. But they fired Frank Lenthi. And the worst part about it, here's the worst part about it. This man's been there since 1983, and they didn't give him a chance to say goodbye to his players and tell his players what was going on. They gave him his walking papers and made him sign. Unbelievable. Staff members close to Frank have been cut last couple years. Some guys around their pension points, when it was time to get their pension, they were fired before the pensions kicked in. More staff members are going to go. The alumni are not going to stand for this. They're going to pull donations. They're not going to send their kids there. Now, I understand on the surface, Loyola is the cream of the crop in the Catholic League Blue. Brother Rice has caught up. St. Rita has caught up. People have left Carmel for public schools like Simeon and Phillips. But the way that this ended, it is it's unbelievable the way the situation was handled. This is corporate America taking over a Catholic League high school that prides itself on family. This isn't about the kids. This is about the dollar. And people are upset. Go look at that Mount Carmel Facebook page. The responses, I can't read them. I can't read them because I would get fired for some of the things that have been that are being said. This is not the way to go about business, whether it's in a Fortune 500 company or it's a mom-and-pop restaurant or it's a high school on the south side of Chicago. The president wanted Frank Lenthi out, and he got what he wanted. I love Jordan Lynch. I've known Jordan Lynch 10 years. Jordan was a sophomore when I was a senior. There's nothing against Jordan Lynch. He's not doing anything wrong. He got a job offer. The job opened up. Jordan took it. This is nothing against Jordan Lynch. This is on the high school. And this is a black eye. This is not how you do business. And Frank Lenthi's crushed right now. And his camp has told me that when he's ready to talk, he's going to talk, and he's going to talk to us. And why are we talking high school football? Because this is the biggest story locally right now. This affects the entire south side of Chicago. This affects the north side. I mean, Carmel's got people that come in from 60 different zip codes. And if this is the way that the winningest coach in high school football gets shown the door, what does that mean for any other coach? Does tradition not matter? Does legacy not matter? It's a shame. Pat DiSebato has been covering high school football for a long time. We're going to talk about what this means for both Mount Carmel and for the high school football realm in general. He's been covering for years on the South Side, the pride of the South Side from the Daily Southtown. He's going to join us next and put this into perspective. 720 WGN. Oh, man, is this ugly situation on the South Side of Chicago. Frank Lenthi being essentially fired by the administration, who told me yesterday that Frank was retiring, and we ran the story. Now, the end result of the story is the same. Frank Lenthi is out, and Jordan Lynch is in. And I love Jordan Lynch. I'm a huge fan, and I think he's going to do really good things here. But this transition between the old school and the new school could have been handled way better. You could have had some sort of an assimilation process. Yes? Is somebody trying to say something?
Yeah, Sam, I got a question for you.
Sure.
So walk us through what the thinking is in terms of, so taking out how it was done, what was the math behind even letting him go at all?
The math was this simple. The math was the bosses did not like the coach. The new bosses did not like the coach. They didn't like his legacy. They didn't like how they get more respect than maybe other people in that school do. And they didn't like how much money he made. And they didn't like the way he ran his offense. And you're having business people come in and try and run a football program.
Yeah.
That's the issue. That's the issue, Domati.
I'm always don't know, I'm always surprised by stories like this when people, even if you take the record out of it or the proficiency of a coach or a player, et cetera, I think people underestimate what that person means in the locker room, what they mean to the players, the chemistry piece of it.
He's been there since 1983, and you fire him and lie about it. You fire him and say that he's retiring. It's a joke. We're going to talk to Pat DiSebato right now. He's been covering football on the South Side for years. You can read him in the Daily Southtown, and you can watch his TV show, Coach's Corner, Coach's Corner Show. Pat, what's going on?
How's it going, Sam?
It's tough, and it's interesting, Pat, because I didn't think I'd be this emotionally invested because I didn't play for Coach Frank Lenti, but I know Coach Frank Lenti, and I know how much this crushes him, and I know how much he loved this program, and more importantly, not about his records and his trophies and his wins. It's about the players. This is a players' coach who would go to war for these kids. And, Pat, he didn't get a chance to tell them what was happening. That is a travesty.
It is, man. This, you know, this is the worst PR move I think I've ever encountered. I mean, something that should have been handled and could have been handled so easily. You know, Mount Carmel has just botched this tragically, man. This is Ned Hughes, I talked to him, the president of Mount Carmel, yesterday, and, you know, they're not saying much. Jordan Lynch, I don't know where he's at in this situation. Obviously, they've got some sort of gag order on him. Frank Lenti, I've texted back and forth with Frank. I've had a relationship with him for 28 years, man. You know what I mean? So he's just sitting back right now, and it's a mess. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know why. You know, if you want to push Frank out, okay, you sit him down and say, hey, we're going to give you a victory lap. 2018 is your year. I don't know why they'd want to push him out, but this is your year. Jordan Lynch is going to be our guy for the 2019 season. Give him a victory lap here, man. Let him get feeded like he deserves, and then you move on. They didn't do that. Maybe Frank was resistant to that, but, you know, this is, you hit it on the head. This is a total power play between the president and Frank Lenti, and the president, who is a Mount Carmel alum. You know, this isn't some guy they brought in. I know he's got some experience at the corporate level. I think he worked for Motorola. Don't hold me to that, but I'm 95% sure that's what he did. But this is a power play between two Carmelites, man. You know, these are guys that, you know, are Mount Carmel guys. And how this could not work, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And every player I've talked to, from this team, previous teams, I just got off the phone with Alec Thomas. You know, they love and respected Frank. And the one thing people have to understand, I keep hearing from people that the Mount Carmel offense is veer option attack, is antiquated. You know, kids did not want to play in an offense like this. Well, let me tell you something. Everyone's running a spread right now, and that's fine and dandy. That's the trend. But the one thing is the results. Mount Carmel got some more semifinals, won 11 state championships, 16 times they were in a state championship game, and a lot of it has to do with that offense. You can't prep for that offense come playoff time. 4 or 5 days to prep for that offense is impossible. And that's why you never saw Frank. Frank never feared anybody in the playoffs because he knew there's no way you're going to be able to prep for this offense, man. The intricacies, the blocking schemes, it's the misdirection. It was impossible. So you could enjoy your regular season success and Mount Carmel going to the Catholic Green next year. Jordan Lynch may go 9-0. He may go 8-1 if he changes this offense. But we'll see, you know, come playoff time, if they're successful running a different offense. And again, Jordan Lynch might not. He might not change a thing. He ran this offense. He was their quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. The president of the high school wants Jordan Lynch to change the offense, even though the triple option veer made Jordan Lynch who he is. So yeah. I don't understand how a business guy is going to come in and tell you how to run your X's and O's of a football team. Now, if you want to run the program in a different way and you want to pick your own coach, that's fine. I disagree with the way it was handled. The worst part about it, too, and people close to Frank told me that at Christmas time, Frank didn't even know what was about to happen. He didn't know about this avalanche. They fired him 4 days after Christmas and then lied about it. Lied about it.
Pretty heartless. My sources tell me, too, man. I heard that the coaches, they have a coaching dinner every year. All the coaches get together, go to a restaurant downtown. And this happened. They had their coaching dinner Wednesday. I heard Frank did not know until Thursday that he was being let go. and then they announce it on Friday. I mean, again, this is alleged, but I'm going to go with my sources here that are inside that building. And it's crazy how this was handled. And, you know, it was no secret there was a power play going on, and this, and they wanted Frank out during the season. Talked to multiple people about that during the season, and there was a fear that this was good, that this could shake out. This screams of a McCaskey thing, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah,
I
mean, it really does.
People who know nothing about football running things and making decisions, and, you know, let's hope. You know, I'm an unbiased guy, man. You're a Mount Carmel guy. And you got to hope that this thing doesn't veer off the tracks. I like Jordan Lynch, man. I think he's a great man.
I wish him all the best. This is nothing against Jordan Lynch. This is nothing against Jordan at all.
Not at all, man. They couldn't have picked a better successor. I really, you know, you wish he had a little bit more coaching experience, but come on, man. You're talking high school football, and he knows the game. So I don't think that's going to be a big thing. But it's so much more than that with the recruiting and everything else, man. I mean, and I just hate to see Frank go out like this, man. It's just a guy that's 34 years and an alum does not deserve to get pushed out.
Last thing, Pat. I had three alumni tell me this, and it made me really think. If Frank Lenti doesn't coach Mount Carmel football 20 years ago, that school might have already folded up its doors.
No doubt about it, man. I mean, he, you know, you talk about a constant flow of positive publicity throughout this tenure for Frank Lenti. You know, 64th and Dante, there's a lot of people sending their kids to 64th and Dante, okay? And he put a tremendous, bright, positive spotlight based on the success. And you talk to the kids, man, he emphasized being a better man than a better football player. And that goes a long way in life. And a lot of alums who have children, you know, have faith, and they send their kids to Mount Carmel. I mean, so I think that's lost in transition. And finally, Sam, I don't know what the board of directors, who put their faith in the president over Frank Lenti, but, man, they really need to take a look at things, man. And they better take a couple classes on public relations, because they botched this thing terribly.
He's Pat DiSebato. He writes sports and covers the Southtown Beat, columnist for the Tribune Media family, Daily Southtown, and you can check out his TV show, CoachesCornerShow.com. I didn't think we'd talk this close to the end of the season, but you never know what's going to happen. So I appreciate you being on board, and thanks for coming on, Pat. Have a happy new year, and we will talk down the road.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Happy new year to you, too.
That's Pat DiSebato. Is, of course, the news in Chicago prep sports. Biggest story, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 10 years. The winningest coach in Illinois high school football history, Frank Lenti, has been fired at Mount Carmel. We'll take a timeout. We'll grab news next, 720 WGN. Griffin, you always find my musical senses. I didn't realize we were so intertwined on music.
I didn't either until the Sufjan Stevens revelation a couple weeks ago.
This is Best Coast?
Best Coast, yeah.
People stand me up next to you and they think there's no way these two like the same music.
I was, you know, I hate to say it, but I thought the same thing for some time, but here we are.
The lesson is, don't judge books by their covers.
I'll find something to bump with that you'll hate. Don't worry.
If you start playing heavy metal, I'm going to come across the table and choke you out.
See, I don't like heavy metal, but now I just want to play it just to, I don't know, just to stir some drama. It's getting too friendly in here.
All right, real quick, we're not going to talk high school football anymore. I'm going to talk about the Blackhawks goalie who has been on a hell of a ride to get to the NHL. But I had a text here, and I don't usually respond to texts on the air. I don't really bring them out. We did get this text. I'm not going to give the full number. It's just from the 630 area code. Who the F cares is the text. Who the F cares? Well, first of all, I care. Enough people that are listening care. You clearly care for texting in and listening. A man was fired. The winningest coach in the history of Illinois high school football was fired 4 days after Christmas, and the school lied about it. And you have the balls to text in, who the F cares? Good on you. Good on you. Jeff Glass. Do you know who Jeff Glass is? Griffin, do you know who Jeff Glass is? He sounds like a salesman at Realtor Building.
He does. I don't know. That would have been my guess.
A barista at Starbucks.
Yeah, sure.
A producer at WGN Radio, Jeff Glass.
I would have known if it was that, I think.
Jeff Glass is the third string goalie for the Blackhawks. He played last night in Edmonton, had 42 saves in his first ever hockey game in the NHL. The most saves by a Blackhawks rookie goalie since Ed Belfour had 40 in 1989, whatever. Jeff Glass spent years trekking through Siberia in the snow just to get to hockey practice. He played in the KHL in Russia for 7 years. This guy's 32 years old. He was actually teammates in juniors with Brent Seabrook. Now, Brent Seabrook's career, high and high, right? Came out, been awesome for the Blackhawks, 3 Stanley Cups. Jeff Glass, quite the opposite. Jeff Glass had to go through the doldrums and the snowbanks in Siberia. Mark Lazarus pointed this out in the Sun-Times. I thought it was a great story. Laz, the only remaining traveling beat writer with the Blackhawks, which is a different story for a different day. But Jeff Glass, a world away from everybody he knows, everything he knows, with people that speak languages that he can't understand. And the team plane would stop for gas in the middle of a 14-hour flight across 8 or 9 time zones, and Jeff Glass is sitting on the back of the plane. He's a goalie in Russia, thinking, what am I doing? The journey brought him to the AHL after a stint in the ECHL. This is the ultimate story of perseverance. A last-ditch effort to chase a dream. Every hockey player that ever laces up skates wants to play in the NHL. Every musician that plays in a band in the back of a local bar wants to play in front of a crowded amphitheater. This guy's goal was to play in the NHL. And Corey Crawford gets hurt. Anton Forsberg has a rough night in Vancouver. Joel Quenneville says, we're going to go with a 32-year-old rookie. Playing in front of his parents, his wife, his 2-month-old daughter, this guy stopped 42 shots in his first NHL game. And the Blackhawks are reeling right now. They had lost 3 games in a row. And their 32-year-old rookie goalie was the best player on the ice. How cool is that, Griff? You're not a big hockey guy. I don't think you're the biggest sports fan. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on a guy who spent 7 years in Russia and then toiled around in the minors and finally gets a crack and wins his first game in the NHL.
Yeah, you got me there. That's movie material.
Are you crying?
Not yet, but give me a second and I can get there for you.
Now, the highlight play of the game is Patrick Kane with the dangle in overtime and he puts the puck in the net and the Blackhawks win 4-3 and the fans in Chicago go crazy across Chicagoland in the bars. Hockey's my favorite bar sport because most people don't understand the idiosyncrasies of hockey and the tacticals. They see the puck go in the net and the light goes off and they jump up and down and do shots. To watch a 32-year-old man smile from ear to ear in a post-game press conference after all he's been through, it's an amazing story. Now, is he going to play much more this year? I don't know, because Corey Crawford eventually will come back. But that pulls at your heartstrings to see the rebound and the, I guess, perseverance for Jeff Glass.
I mean, I like having him on the Blackhawks. I like having this story in Chicago. But is there another team for him, maybe, where he could be first string or even second string?
I don't
know. Move up one place.
Here's where things get interesting. So tomorrow night, the Blackhawks play again on New Year's Eve. Pre-game 7:30, by the way, on WGN, home of the Blackhawks. They are playing Sunday night in Calgary, which is where Jeff Glass is from.
Oh, come on. Stop.
So his second game in the NHL, I imagine you have to play the guy again because the Blackhawks, they're not at the top of the standings. In fact, they're a wild card team right now. You look at the standings in the NHL, I mean, the Blackhawks, they're not near the top of their division. Winnipeg, 50 points, Nashville, 49, St. Louis, 48, Dallas, 45, Minnesota, 43, and then, there's the Blackhawks at 41. So the Blackhawks are playing for their postseason lives pretty much every game now. They need points in every game. This guy, if he gives you the best chance to win, you got to play him.
I mean, judging just from one game, that's all you can do, right? And he's given you no reason to take him out yet, as far as I know, right?
Yeah, what do you know?
I'm not absolutely nothing.
Really, what do you know? I did find this fascinating, though. And
I'm the
hockey
person taking shots at the bar watching.
I remember watching those Cup games in 2010 when people still thought Chris Chelios was a Blackhawk. He hasn't been on the team in a long time, bro. Figure it out. But also, with Joel Quenneville, and this is not just Joel Quenneville, it's any hockey coach. In football and basketball and baseball, Griff, we know when guys are hurt. We know what's wrong with them. We know how long they're out. In hockey, you don't know a thing. With Corey Crawford, what's the status on Crawford? Upper body. How long is he out?
He has an upper body. Okay, great.
How long is he out? Well, we don't know. Did this happen on the ice? I don't want to get into it. Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's how it is. And it's not just the Blackhawks thing. This is a league-wide thing. They don't want you to know anything about their players. So I think it's a great story. And the Blackhawks getting good minutes from Nick Schmaltz last night. Jonathan Toews, I'm hoping he's not concussed. He plays and looks like he's concussed. No, I'm not going to say he is concussed, but I mean, that guy's played a lot of hockey in the dirty areas, and he's taken a lot of hits and a lot of head checks, and I hope he gets back into form, because this has not been a good 2-3 year stretch for Jonathan Toews. Patrick Kane, arguably the best player in the game still. He is just electricity every time he's got the puck on his stick. He's a highlight reel waiting to happen. But without Corey Crawford, this is going to be tough. And if you're a Blackhawks fan, you have to go back to 2010-11 to remember a team that was so on the fringe. That year, they were the eighth seed in the playoffs. And they took Vancouver to Game 7 and lost to the Canucks with Roberto Luongo. But this is a trying season. And this team has played so much hockey. And I'll tell you what, all these contracts, they've crippled the Blackhawks. They've crippled them. Toews and Kane make almost $11 million. Crawford makes $6 million. Saad makes about $6 million. Keith is making $5-6 million. Seabrook is making more than that. And you've got to find players that play above their means. You've got to pay like 12 players. I just gave you 6 players. There's only 21 players in hockey, 22 players. And the salary cap is just about $70 million. So you've got to pay 12, 13 players like, you know, $20 million. And it's hard to do. Certainly hard to do. We've got a lot of local sports coming up. You've got some teams playing in big bowl games. You've got Wisconsin, Miami in the Orange Bowl. Penn State and Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Hawks will play tomorrow in Calgary. The Bulls and Wizards tomorrow in D.C. And then the Bears and Vikings. Hopefully the final game for John Fox and the Bears regime. But we've got Northwestern basketball. Dave Ennett flew in from Nashville for you. He's going to call Northwestern in Brown at the Allstate Arena. Dave standing by. Wildcats basketball coming up next.